The Dharma, incomparably profound and exquisite, is rarely met with even in hundreds of thousands of millions of kalpas. We now can see it, hear it, accept and hold it. May we realize the true mind of the Tathagata. Today is this beautiful, sunny day in spring, in March 2017, in our day two of Sesshin. And I'd like to share with you some of the teachings of a contemporary Zen master in Japan, Keido Fukushima, who was, until he died in 2011, the head abbot of Tofukuji Monastery, one of the 14 Rinzai headquarter temples in Japan, and a true teacher. His teacher was Zenkei Shibayama, whose name you may be familiar with because he wrote a commentary, and actually there's a published translation in English of his commentaries on the Mumonkan, and it's the best English translation, is the best commentary, the best set of commentaries on the Mumonkan. There are several others, one by Eiken Roshi, one by Koen Yamada Roshi, and then there's sort of a short form without the commentaries, just the translation, in another book combined with the translation of the koans in the Hikigan Roku, the Blue Rock Record. But Keido Fukushima was a genuine article. Towards the end of his life, he had Parkinson's, like so many people in Japan, where there's an extremely high pesticide use. He was a lovely person by all reports. I never did meet him, but I know personally several that did, and including Grace Shireson, who trained with him, Grace and her husband Peter. Grace is a Zen teacher in Northern California. And we know each other from the American Zen Teachers Association meetings. Fukushima Hiroshi had a wide and positive reputation because he could speak English, and he made many trips to the United States, teaching trips, and also trips in which he demonstrated calligraphy. He was a master calligrapher. He was well known for his calligraphy. And so perhaps one might say he was as equally famous for the calligraphy as he was for his Zen teachings, but he was a genuine Zen master. One of the dying breed in Japan. There are very, very, very few of them left, and very, very few of them, in fact, I only know of one of them, and actually allows Western students to come and train in terms of the Japanese Zen masters. Fukushima Hiroshi left an American Zen heir, or at least we assume he is an heir because he started sending his English-speaking students to him. He lives in Kyoto. He works at Hanazono University and is married to a Japanese woman. This book has just recently come out. It's a translation of all the teachings that Grace and her husband, Peter, heard, their experiences with Fukushima Hiroshi. Because as I said, Grace trained with him, although I think she's a Dharma heir of Suzuki Roshi, but I could be wrong. She's one of those that has had more than one teacher. And this book is brand new. It's just come out. It's called Zen Bridge, The Zen Teachings of Keido Fukushima, edited by Grace Shireson and Peter Shireson. And in the very beginning, there is one of his calligraphies. And it reads, "When the heart is clear, the 100 tasks go well." And this character for heart, which is the first character here, is actually Shin, which can be translated mind or heart, and it has a far wider translation, a far wider set of meanings than either one of those terms does in English. Heart, mind can encompass all manner of senses, and it goes beyond the normal. Fukushima Roshi once commented that when he asks people where their mind is, Westerners all point to their heads. We all think it's our thinking brain. In fact, do we actually think from the brain? That hasn't really been proved. Whereas Asians will point to their heart or their tanden, their belly. Modern medical science is beginning to discover that the brain isn't the only thing that communicates in terms of organs in the body. We also have communicating and directing cells in our heart. In fact, last I read, there is more communication from the heart to the brain than there is from the brain to the heart. There's also communication and a driving of emotions and physiology through, you could call them brain cells, I suppose, neurological cells, in the whole gastrointestinal tract, which is why, when people are upset, they often feel upset in their guts. What is this mind? This is our big question. Dogen said, as you've heard so many times, to study the way or the path or the Tao. To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by the 10,000 things, and to be enlightened by the 10,000 things is to remove the barrier between self and other. Our practice, really, if you put it down into one short sentence, is to explore our mind. And now that we have heard, and I think you probably also have some recognition of this as well, personal recognition of this, the mind is not the thinking brain alone. We have a lot of exploration opportunity here. And that exploration can lead us to the most amazing freedom beyond imagination. And we have some sense of this, otherwise we wouldn't be sitting here with our knees hurting for long hours, not doing other fun things. To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. When the heart is clear, the 100 tasks go well. When we have forgotten ourselves, when we have become enlightened by the 10,000 things, when we have removed the barrier between self and other, then the 100 tasks go well. That is practice and its results in a nutshell. Then it doesn't matter what we're faced with in this crazy world. We'll be able to surf it well without becoming shredded by it. This is the promise of our Zen practice, and it's a very real and substantiated promise. The practice would not have endured for 2,500 years if it didn't bring positive results, significantly positive results, across cultures. And it is so for us today. So as we extend that out-breath, dropping deep, letting go other concerns, including whether or not their thoughts coming in, including whether or not their feelings coming up. When we abandon involvement, which is very different from pushing away or trying to get rid of these things, but instead search deeply within, quietly, really quietly, so that we can recognize what might come forth, so that we may become aware of what we hadn't realized before, so that we can become aware of a different way of seeing, experiencing, that will set us free. This is what our practice is about. And the most effective way to go about that is through the extension of the out-breath, fully present with that experience. And oddly enough, that results in both an increased, sharper focus and an expanded awareness, both of which are essential. We're not blocking anything out in our practice. We don't use the practice to escape. This is very, very important. We use it to become so absorbed that we forget ourselves. We forget that self-image that so drives our interactions, our reactions, our perceptions. And as we do this, we become increasingly clear and let go, so that when the heart is clear, the 100 tasks go well. There's another calligraphy that he has done, and that's illustrated in this book. This one reads, harmonizing with difficult circumstances. Harmonizing with difficult circumstances. And if circumstances weren't difficult already, and by all predictions, they're going to get more difficult for many, many people in this world right now. Harmonizing with difficult circumstances. When the mind is clear, 100 tasks are accomplished with ease. Harmonizing with difficult circumstances allows that to happen, if the mind is clear. And of course, it's clarifying the mind that our practice is about. There are so many examples of this, really. I've shared with you before one that happened when Harada Shodo Roshi was still a monk at Shofukuji in Kobe, Japan. And he and a small work crew of people living at the temple were working outside the main gates, but they were still on temple property. And there was a group of homeless people living on the property. And yes, there are homeless people in Japan. Japan's culture is very specific and yet very vague. There are a lot of cultural innuendos that are understood if you're born and raised there, but obscure to people who are not. But beyond that, there are very expected ways of behavior, far more than in the West. And there are people, as there are everywhere, who don't really fit the mold. And it may be that they're mentally ill, or simply that they just didn't fit in with the cultural expectations, and they're on the outs. And many of those people are homeless in Japan. At any rate, there was a group of homeless people living there, and they felt they were being cheated out of water somehow or other by the temple. And so the leader of the group, who a friend of mine who told me the story, who was actually present at the time, said was obviously no stranger to violence, got right smack in the Roshi's face, although he was a monk, he wasn't a Roshi yet, he was Dosan, and was screaming and yelling and carrying on, and red in the face, and potentially quite violent, to the point where my friend, Daikatsu, who was holding a shovel at the time, kept hold of it in case he needed to whack the guy if he decided to swing a fist at Dosan. And what did Dosan do? Clearly harmonizing. He just simply got more and more inwardly quiet, fully attentive to this man, not tuning him out, not saying a word, simply listening carefully and clearly to what the man was saying. And as he got more and more inwardly quiet, the man's violence began to ramp down. And he also became more and more quiet. And eventually the concern was settled and he went away. This is a very good example of harmonizing with difficult circumstances. And it came because Dosan's mind, heart, mind, whatever you want to call it, was so clear and so let go. He didn't need to react out of an ego stance, out of a self-image that needed to be protected or defended or upheld. And this is our potential as well. It's very real potential. We can realize it in this lifetime sooner. The more zazen we do. I'd like to quote a little bit here from Fukushima Roshi. If I ask Westerners where their mind is, they point to their heads. That's because people believe the mind equals thinking. But in Japanese, the term shin has many different parts. Mind, heart, spirit, and sometimes even soul are all wrapped up in this one word. If one asks Asians where their mind is, instead of pointing to their heads, most would point to their stomachs or some to their chests. I always say my mind is very great. In part, I say this in a joking way, but I'm serious. It's a joke because I have a fat stomach. But it is also a serious statement because the mind must be great. It must be wide. It must be open. In Europe, they translate mushin as empty mind. When Prince Charles came to Tofukuji for a visit 5 years ago, he used the term empty mind. But between the two translations, no mind and empty mind, perhaps empty mind is a little bit better. Because the mind is empty, it can freely respond to anything. And this was demonstrated with that little incident between Dosan and the homeless man. Because his mind was empty of ideas about himself or the situation, he was able simply to be with the situation clearly and fully present. And it turned out far different than it would have Hattie tried to argue with the guy. Because the mind is empty, it can freely respond to anything. Because the mind is empty, it can freely take in anything. Empty mind is also free mind. Think about yourself with a mind free to adapt and able to take in anything. There's a very fresh feeling to such a mind, and so empty mind is also fresh mind. And because one takes in everything afresh, one is also able to create. So empty mind is also creative mind. Thus, the no mind of Muxin is not no thinking, rather it is thinking freely. If you believe that no mind means no thinking, this is actually a dead mind, a static mind. The free, fresh, creative mind is actually very dynamic. Zen Buddhism hates the static. Zen is not a dead religion, it's a living, working, dynamic religion. So Muxin includes empty mind, free mind, fresh mind, creative mind, and pure mind. All these notions are included in Muxin, and the goal of Zen practice is to become this self of empty mind. When you realize this self, you can live a life free of attachment. This is a life of freedom. And I would add, the only real freedom there is. So that even if you're imprisoned, even if you're caught in an untenable situation, you're still free. This is a life of freedom, the living enlightenment of Zen. And when you do become enlightened, it's not the end of it all. After your enlightenment, you must continue to deepen the experience. You may have an experience of Satori, but as you deepen the experience, it becomes living enlightenment. And I think that's enough for today. I don't want to fill your heads with extra stuff, right? When you're seeking to explore beyond words, beyond concepts, beyond all knowing. The important thing is to do that exploration and to continue it deeper. Even if, as they say, the Buddha comes before you, pay no attention. Dive deeper. Keep going. We're most of the way through day two of this 7-day sesshin. You've got time to do some miraculous work. Don't let up. Thank you for listening. We'll stop now and recite the four vows.